Good morning from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. Welcome to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm your host and garden expert, Teresa Watkins. I'm a landscape designer and a horticulturist, garden author. I just love gardening and I want to share it with you. And we are having a wonderful day today. It's going to be beautiful. Red sky in morning. Sailors take warning, but I just don't think that cold front is going to be as strong as what they think. So we're going to have a wonderful day. It's going to get some rain. And then we're not going to see rain for a couple of weeks, even down in South Florida. No rain.
What?
Good morning, Lizzie.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm trying to figure out cold front. They said there was a cold front coming?
Yeah, but it's not going to be that cold. But it's going to lower the temperatures to the 80s. You know, yesterday we nearly set record highs, which means that it's a great time for gardening here in Florida. But we just need the rain, you know. So I am excited. We're going to have a great day today because this is the day we've been waiting for.
Mm-hmm.
I am going down to Peterson's Nursery, and I'm going to be doing a talk on gardening myths, true or false. And let's see. I wonder how many of the attendees, because there'll be a lot coming, and I can't wait to see everybody because we have a big audience in Lakeland.
Yes, we do. Yes, definitely. You definitely have a good following down there for sure. So,
but I get to go to Peterson's Nursery, which is fabulous.
Oh, I'm crossing my fingers that there's some roses, and I really am really super crossing my fingers to find out how much Jesus loves me that there's the ones that smell like Fruit Loops left. And the white and red splattered ones. But if not, it's my own fault.
They
I should have bought them.
600 roses on Rose Day.
I believe it.
Oh, it's just, and it's just incredible. So it's downtown Lakeland. I'm going to be there. It's going to be 2184 County Road 540A in Lakeland. And, you know, I'm going to be doing, like I said, a talk on gardening myths. So come out and see me. Can't wait to go down there. I want to give a big shout out to the Sweetwater Oak Garden Club. They had a festival last week in Longwood, and I was able to talk about butterfly gardening and catch up with some great friends there, and they had a great turnout and a great weather there. But I have to tell you, as I was leaving the Sweetwater Oak Garden Club Festival, it's garden fair, across the street was the most beautiful Chickasaw plum blooming.
Oh, really?
And it was just magnificent. And, you know, it's a native and nobody planted it. This was just downtown, you know, Wakiva Springs. And I just saw it from across the street and had to go over and take pictures of it. You can see it on my Facebook page. And I posted it on Better Lawns and Gardens Facebook page. It was gorgeous. But there was also other natives stuck in there. And this was in an office building complex. And they either didn't get demoed when they were doing the parking lots, or some birds helped us spread the cheer of Florida natives and, you know, and Chickasaw plums. So I was very excited to see that. I've been taking a lot of pictures this week. It's been gorgeous. Spring here in Florida is just incredible. And I posted, again, the photos on Better Lawns and Gardens on the ornamental grasses, what they're supposed to look like. So I will be doing that today. And I'm really proud of everyone who has taken their ornamental grasses down to 6 inches. This is the time of the year. You don't want to have the ugly last year's look in the middle of summertime.
Right.
You know, and the grasses can get really scraggly. So cut them down to 6 inches. That's your red fountain grass, your white fountain grass, your muley grass, if you have it, Fakahatchee grass, all of the ornamental grasses, go ahead and cut them down by 6 inches. And or down to 6 inches, and they will come back and thrive. So that's really good. Also, too, you can see a picture of the bougainvillea that I posted.
Oh.
And it is a beautiful fuchsia color. But you get to see the white flowers. All bougainvillea have white flowers. There is no other color of a bougainvillea flower except white.
Right.
But the bracts are deep, you know, fuchsia and burgundy. So you can see that too as well. And so I can just, I just love taking the photographs of the flowers and looking at them. My fringe tree is blooming, a great Florida native, and it's got those little fingers and everything that hang down.
Oh, nice.
And so it's blooming in the yard. And, you know, one day I'm looking at it and no big deal. The next day, boom, all the flowers come out, like overnight. And I went, oh, thank you. You know, that little big push there, that worked out really good. I have amaryllis blooming. My old ones, my mother used to have these. And they're orangey, peachy color. And then I have some that are white and pink and really pretty. I'll post some photos of those. And just so this is the time of the year for spring. I'm very excited.
Oh, I know. I've been going around taking pictures of all my stuff that's growing and my planting. But I don't like to post it because people steal my photos. And I'm like,
that's not nice.
I know.
It's not nice.
I know. It makes me very sad. But, you know, maybe I can put a watermark on it or something.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You put a watermark on it and yes. Just kind of.
Because I got some gorgeous photos, let me tell you.
Your roses look great.
Yes. And Peterson's.
There you go. So it is gorgeous right now. So we have a lot of gardening questions coming up. This is March, and it's the month of celebrating St. Patrick's Day and cheering for the green. Last week we did O fruits and O vegetables. Well, today it's going to be O plants. But oh dear, is it a flower or a weed? Well, we're in luck. Brooke Moffis, Lake County Extension Residential Horticultural Agent, she's going to join us and she's going to explain the difference between oxalis, the weed, and the flower. Okay, Faith and Begonias from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. I'm Teresa Watkins. This Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. Good morning. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I have known Brooke Moffis for years. She is an extension agent at the Lake County Extension Office. She's Extension Agent 3. She's got her Master's of Science, and she is a residential horticultural agent. She's working on her doctorate at the University of Florida, and I am so proud to know her, and she has taken her time today away from her vacation. So good morning, Brooke. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. How are you doing, Teresa?
I am doing wonderful, and we're so lucky to have you on this morning. Where are you and your family right now?
Oh, we are actually south of Savannah on a coastal river, so it's beautiful.
I bet it is. You're having great weather, too, this weekend. And so the weather, it's good?
Oh, yeah, very nice.
I'm sorry. I'm still waking up. So in March, we celebrate St. Patrick's Day, and we hang shamrocks on our offices and schools and homes. We wear them. Are the traditional shamrocks the same plant that we can buy here in the grocery store and in nurseries?
That's a good question, actually, and I had to do some research on this. The traditional shamrock that we typically think of, or, you know, from the Ireland days, is probably white clover. And that's Trifolium repens. So it has these three little leaves and it kind of creeps across the ground. The one that we find in the grocery store is oxalis. And that oxalis, this one's actually kind of hard to say. It's regnilii. So oxalis regnilii is actually the one that we see typically at the stores. And then there's another one called oxalis triangularis. I know I'm throwing out these scientific names. But that's the one, it sounds just like the name sounds. It has like triangle-shaped leaves, and they can come in all different kinds of colors.
That's wonderful. Now, are they considered a flower or are they considered a weed?
Oh, that's a good question, too. So the ones that I just mentioned, people typically think of them more as a flower. But there is an oxalis that can get pretty weedy, and we call that one yellow wood sorrel. And that's the one that we can see in our lawns.
Okay, so I'm going to talk about how to get rid of them. I'm going to ask you about that in just a few minutes. But let's talk about the houseplant or the flower, oxalis. What are the qualities that make it a great houseplant?
Oh, the qualities that make it a great houseplant is that you've got these different colors and you can have these really nice, vibrant greens. You can even have some with flecks of white in them. And then there's even the, like I said earlier, there's like a purple one with these triangular shaped leaves, and it has these really soft pink flowers, and they can be really good houseplants. Now, I would say they do like a lot of bright sunlight. So if you're going to grow them as a houseplant, make sure they're getting as much bright sunlight in your house as you can.
So they would make a great plant for like a pot or a container outside your front door in the full sun or a pool area, right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, the full afternoon sun might be a little intense in Central Florida, So I think, you know, morning sun, afternoon shade would be ideal.
What kind of moisture do they need?
Oh, the moisture. So they need, oh gosh, they're like so many of our other plants. They want it to be thoroughly moist, but well drained. So many plants thrive in that, and it's hard to get that in Central Florida, you know? So you want like a consistent moisture, but you want it to be well-drained. You don't want it sitting in water. You also need to make sure that it dries out between waterings, too. So you want to just make sure that it's dry to the touch, the top of the soil, before you water it again.
Okay, so do they have any pest problems at all?
They can get some pest problems. Sometimes those pests can be more outdoor pests. Sometimes they can creep indoors, too. And sometimes you might unknowingly just bring them into your house. So they can get some of the things that a lot of our greenhouse plants get. They can get aphids, they can get mealybugs, and they can get whitefly. So you can treat with an insecticidal soap with those. And you just want to make sure that you're not doing that in full sun or during the heat of the day if you're going to treat outdoors. So that's one of the strategies that you can use.
Okay, so is there any interesting details, some trivia about oxalis that's really cool to know?
Oh, well, you know, the oxalis, you know, that's that whole three-shaped leaf, or the shamrock, I guess you could say, the three-shaped leaf there, that's what we typically call a shamrock. And of course, we all think of it with St. Patrick's Day because it's association with St. Patrick, of course. So one of the things that I think is just really interesting about it is if we're talking about the white clover shamrock, that is, you know, different from the oxalis, but that one is really cool plant because it can pull nitrogen from the air. And it requires very low fertility, so it makes a really nice lawn. And it's actually been used as cattle feed before. So it makes a nice livestock food, and it can make a beautiful lawn, especially in the wintertime. And then the oxalis, the weed that we're talking about, the yellow wood sorrel, that one's really interesting because it can disperse its seeds so far, and it can really become a nuisance. So one of the little pieces of trivia I found out, Teresa, is that one oxalis plant of the yellow wood sorrel, the one that's kind of a pesky weed, can throw out 5,000 seeds and have almost 100% germination.
Oh my goodness.
With those seeds. Meaning that almost all those 5,000 seeds can at least make it past the germination stage. And, you know, they can throw out their seeds 13 to 16 feet. I mean, it's shorter than that too, but you know, that's kind of the max of how far. But if you think like one plant can throw its seeds out 16 feet and then those seeds grow and they can throw out 16 feet, that can be really problematic in the nursery and in the landscape.
So
that's the weed.
Yes. So if they have this weed in their lawn, and does it like St. Augustine or, you know, Bahia grass, Zoysia grass, what kind of lawns can we find wood sorrel in?
You know, I think it can get in all of them, really. I typically see it more in like St. Augustine, and I typically see it more in moist areas, and you'll see it sometimes in the full sun, sometimes in part shade as well, but it can really get into any of the turf grasses, and so that's why it's really important to keep your turf grass healthy, a nice, dense, healthy stand of turf grass so that it can outcompete the weed, and then hopefully you won't get it and you won't have to treat, because weeds need open space to throw their seeds out and for their seeds to germinate.
Yeah, they don't like competition. So how do we keep wood sorrel out of our lawns then? So what would you say, or how to get rid of it? How do we keep it out?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, like I said, the first thing to keep it out is keep your lawn as healthy as possible by following the right irrigation and the right mowing heights and all that. Right fertilizer, too, is important. But if you already have wood sorrel in your yard, you can use a pre-emergent herbicide. And what a pre-emergent is it's an herbicide that works before the seeds actually sprout. So you're going to put this down to keep new seeds from sprouting. You can also use a post-emergent herbicide, too. You just have to check the label and make sure that the post-emergent is safe for your lawn. And what we mean by a post-emergent is that that plant is already there. It's already emerged from the seed, so that's why we call it a post-emergent. So there's some products that are out there, but again, check the label to make sure that they are safe for your lawn type.
Excellent, Brooke. And so if somebody, what would you say is the most important thing to do in the lawn right now this month?
Oh, this month? Oh, so we're not going to fertilize yet. We're going to fertilize about mid-April, beginning to mid-April. So hold off on the fertilizer. We're probably going to start mowing because the day length is going to start increasing. So make sure that you're mowing at the proper mowing height, which is about 3 to 4 inches for St. Augustine and Bahia grass, and close to 2 inches for Zoysia grass. But it depends. Sometimes it depends on the cultivar, too. So that's the different type of St. Augustine or Zoysia grass that you might have. So.
Well, thank you so much, Brooke. You are always so helpful, and I know you're such an asset to Lake County Extension. So I certainly appreciate
it. Thanks, Teresa.
You're welcome. Thank you for coming and waking up early out of your vacation. You're very, very sweet.
Oh, you're welcome. It's always fun to talk to you.
All right. Thank you. Now, Brooke, we are going to have you on again in a couple of weeks. And can you kind of tease us about what you're going to be on about?
Yes. So Lake County Master Gardener Program with UF Ivis Extension, they have a phenomenal plant sale that they do every year. This year it's on March 30th from 8 a.m. to noon. Again, March 30th, 8 a.m. to noon, and it's at our extension office in Tavares, Florida. So I'm going to be talking about some of the cool plants that we have to offer at this year's sale. And it's a great place to get really unusual plants at very affordable prices.
That's excellent. Thank you so much, Brooke. Have a great vacation.
Okay, thanks, Teresa.
All right, bye-bye. She is wonderful. She has excellent classes, and she's just very, very sweet.
So I think I've met her a couple of times when I used to work at the library. And the name sounds familiar. Her voice sounds familiar. But yes, I love that center. I love how they're very helpful with the public.
Yes.
So amazing. They have a very good standard.
We're very fortunate here in the state of Florida to have very active and supported extension offices. And so if you need to have more information about getting rid of oxalis, you can contact your local extension office. And all you need to do is put in your county name and put in extension, and it will pop right up when you search for it. And they're there free for you. And you can take your weeds in to have them identified, and also flowers too as well.
Yes.
And so I enjoy that. I am going to be posting, Lizzie, you need to see the video of the oxalis exploding its seeds. The flower's blooming in the yard,
mm-hmm.
and all it needs is a soft breeze, something to touch it, like a grasshopper.
Okay.
And it explodes.
What? We have self-firing plants? What?
And so it, 500 seeds, or she said 5,000, I'm sorry, 5,000, I got to add the zero on there. But I'm going to post the video of the exploding oxalis flower
on
Facebook today. So you'll have to check out our page and look at that. And so we are coming up. Now is the time to get your gardening questions answered.
Yes.
1-888-455-2967. If you have a gardening question, we'd love to hear from you. You can call us right in, or you can text us and let us know you're listening out there and a garden question if you have one, or just even brag about your garden. I would love to hear what's blooming in your yard. We're so fortunate. My blueberry that got run over a couple of weeks ago
mm-hmm.
is doing better. It's growing new leaves, and so I'm very pleased. And I posted a picture on our Facebook page of nuns wearing a brown habit.
Okay.
And later on this hour, I'm going to be talking about the flower that is named after them. So go to the Facebook page and like us and give us 5 stars. We would love that. And then also to, see if you can tell what the flower is that this reminds us of the Carmelite nuns. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, if it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, here with Lizzie O'Steele for St. Patrick's Day. And we'll be back with more Better Lawns and Gardens on the Florida's News Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I want to give a big thank you to Brooke Moffus, who is the Lake County Extension Residential Horticultural Agent, for taking time out of her weekend to talk to us about oxalis. Make sure you catch that video later on today. It'll be later this afternoon that I'll post it. And so I just also want to remind everyone, I have spots left open on my Ireland tour. And so just two spots left. And you and Lizzie and Brooke can go, right?
It's funny. So Brooke, our media person and digital person for Orlando, she's in here getting a refresher course because she's also on WFLA. And she goes, she heard you saying that, Teresa, about the trip. And she goes, she just whispered to me, she goes, is it two spots? And you said two. And she's like, well, maybe we should go.
We're going to have a great time. We're going to go to the Magical Ring of Kerry. And then also all these different castles and houses and beautiful private gardens. And then we're going to go to some arboretums. And it's just going to be an excellent trip. It's going to be the best time of the year to go to Ireland in July. We have plenty of time. And so come with me and join me on this enchanted Emerald Isle trip.
Where can they get the information from so that way they can book their own things?
Right, exactly. Yep. They need to go to artinbloomgardentours.com. Okay. Artinbloomgardentours.com. And we're just going to have a wonderful time. Come join me and we can geek out at plants.
You never know. I might win that scratch off.
There you go.
I'm going to scratch off. We're on our way.
We would have the largest gardens, wouldn't we? We would just start our own gardens.
I would literally just go ahead and dig my own grave and just lay down in it and just lay there and look at everything
all the
and be
flowers.
Like,
yeah, mm-hmm. That would be too funny. 1-888-455-2967 if you're in the garden area, or you can text 23680 and let us know your gardening questions. So big shout out. Good morning to Howie and Peterson's nursery there. We're going to be there today. I'm going to be doing a talk at 11:30. In Lakeland, so come out and join us.
Yeah, and I'll be out there shopping. So
there you go. You'll be the one with all of the buggy with all of the plants in it, right?
You should have seen Shrek when we went there. Was it last week or week before last? It was hysterical because he never tells me no. You know, he's just one of those. He just figures it's going to work out. You know, and so but you could tell he's counting about where are we going to put all these roses in my truck. I mean, we got a big truck, but he's like counting them, and he's kind of just standing there looking like. She's going to make me have to do something with all these roses and put them in the back of my truck. But yeah, he's a good man. But yes, I loved it. He loved Howie. He loved Scott. And sad that he missed meeting Karen. So.
Yeah, no, that's wonderful. Well, speaking of good men, my husband planted all our tomatoes. Everything is all done. And the peppers from Gary. Thank you, Gary. And the scallions. Oh, everything looks great. They loved being potted up. We had them in pots, but they were too small. And so he potted them. He upsized them. And they were kind of like, oh my goodness, I can stretch. And, you know, aww. I can grow right up to the sky. You know, that song we used to sing when we were kids, bend mm-hmm. and stretch, reach for the stars. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so that's what the plants were doing too. So they really did enjoy it. This is March. What can you be doing in March? Well, you heard Brooke say, delay your feedings of your turf. You want to go ahead and do that in mid-April, but you can go ahead and put down a pre-emergent right now. If you have no weeds and you think you're going to get them, pre-emergent will help. Or if you do have weeds, go ahead and you can put a post-emergent down. You want to walk your yards on a regular basis so you can catch a problem before it becomes a major problem. That's a big mantra of mine. And, you know, right now you want to be looking under the leaves and over the leaves and all the way around for pest issues. We have, you know, aphids and whiteflies and mites. When you're walking through your plants, just wave your hand over the plants close to the leaves so you kind of brush them. You will see the white flies coming up if you have them. And right now, maybe one or two pop up. That's where you need to pay attention. Because if you saw one or two last week, and this week you see 10 to 12 to 15, or you see a little cloud coming up, you know, then that's when you know you need to put down a insecticide. And so you don't want to put one down before you have a problem, only after you have a problem. Because just because you have a dead spot in the area or you think you have insects, you do not have any, and sometimes they do the damage and then they leave, then you are wasting your money, you're wasting your time, and you're putting that chemical in the environment where it doesn't need to be. It's just a waste. So don't do it. Make sure you have the insect first. This is the time you could start your herb and vegetable gardens. They look wonderful. They taste good. You want to use them. So as you are growing the rosemary and as you're growing the dill and fennel, you know, and your basil and your oregano and thyme, tarragon, you know, tarragon is delicious. then you want to use them up. So have a plan to, you know, as they get big, that you can cut them. They will, you know, that will stimulate new growth and they'll grow new leaves, and you can just continue to have herbs the rest of the spring and summer. You want to fertilize your vegetables and your herbs every 2 to 3 weeks. Use a slow-release fertilizer. That'll extend the time frame where you need to fertilize. But if you're using a liquid fertilizer, make sure it's kind of diluted. You don't want to burn these your plants. And I will tell you, with the heat that we're having, we almost got to 90 yesterday. That's a little That's a little outrageous. But for, you know, for March. But make sure you use a diluted liquid fertilizer, because it just may be too intense. Water your plants well before you fertilize. That way they're going to be able to handle the salts of the fertilizer. This is the time to go ahead and start your sprouting of your yams, sweet potatoes, so you can have transplants and have a delicious meal from them this summer and fall. And then also, too, all the oak leaves. You know, we get, this is the time of the year, we get in Florida 2 seasons of falling leaves.
Yes.
In the fall and in the springtime, the oaks drop their leaves. You can see them doing that right now all over your yard. Go ahead and suck them up with your blower. You know, the blower doesn't only blow, it can suck them up. And put those leaves in your compost pile. Do not blow them out in the street. It's a waste of good soil, because those leaves will decompose into good soil. And so I have a car that parks outside of our house in the road, which is they're allowed to do. But then the road sweeper doesn't get to go by, and they go around the cars, right? So that area that has leaves at the curb never gets, you know, sucked up. And, you know, if you wait long enough, then there's dirt there. So, you know, just pick up the dirt, throw it into your garden pile, and then you continue on. We're going to be back with more of Better Lawns and Gardens. Give me a call, 1-888-455-2967, Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. We have a perfect text message coming up, and a perfect text message is where you give your name and your city location and your question. We love doing that, and makes it a little bit easier to understand. But if you'd like to give me a call, 1-888-455-2967, text 23680. So let's go to Susan in Tallahassee. Good morning. She just wanted to know if she could start her ornamental sweet potato vine from the tubers that were left after the winter dieback. And I will say yes, Susan, and they'll probably come back anyway, even if you don't want to start them. So go ahead and, yeah, you can move them to a pot if you want to have it in a hanging planter or a hanging basket, or you want to leave them in the ground. They will re-sprout again. So that's a really easy way to do it. So I posted a picture of nuns, and they're Carmelite nuns in the photograph, but you could also do Poor Clares. And the plant that is named after them is called a nun's orchid. And this is a beautiful flower that is kind of, interestingly, oddly enough, also known as swamp orchids. They grow in zones 9 to 11. They are a real orchid. They're in the Phaeus family, and they're called, the scientific name is Phaeus tankervillei, and then also Phaeus grandifolius. There's about 45 different species of Phaeus, and they do grow in the ground here in Florida. They like a little bit of morning sun, you know, right up till about noontime. Really, in the heat of the afternoon in the summertime, they like a little bit of shade. And this the genus Phaeus is derived from the ancient Greek word Phaeos, meaning dusky or brown. Oh, that's what we should have called our cat, Tony, dusky, Phaeos. And so the named flower species is named after Lady Emma Tankerville. And she was born in the 18th century. And she was a British heiress, patron, and a botanist. a female botanist in the 18th century, and her collection of botanical illustrations, you can see them at the Kew Gardens, Royal Botanic Gardens in Kew. And she, the orchids were named after her because she was the first person to make it flower successfully in England. Now, the terrestrial orchids, these nun's orchids, were originally brought from to the West from China, and they're native to temperate and tropical Asia. First were brought to Hawaii, and then now they're found all over the United States. You can grow them as an indoor houseplant, upper north. But then also, too, they have localized in South Florida. So those of you in South Florida can grow nun's orchids year-round. They will be wonderful. But the flower is white, and then it has petals of brown with a little bit of shading of purple. They are gorgeous. And so I love them. I saw them in the in some yards this week. I've been out photographing, and I wanted to tell you about them.
They are very pretty. I'd never seen them till I saw you. You showed me after you posted that. So nice.
It's wonderful. Let's go to Jackie in Melbourne. Good morning, Jackie. How can
Good
I help?
Morning. Good morning. Good morning.
Yep.
My question is, I saw for the first time here, I'm in Melbourne, and I saw she called it Queen Anne's Florida Wisteria.
Yes.
That's so beautiful. I didn't even know we could grow that here. Mm-hmm. Do you have any insight? Is this the only time it blooms this time of year? And what kind of fertilizer if I should get one?
Okay. Yes, you should get one if you have the room, because they do get large. They'll get to be right around 25 to 30 feet tall. Okay, wow. So they don't get as big as the wisteria. They don't get it. The stems don't get as bulky and huge and damaging as the wisteria. But it's called Queen's Wreath, W-R-E-A-T-H, Queen's Wreath. And the scientific name is Petrea, P-E-T-R-E-A, volubilis, V-O-L-U-B-I-L-I-S. And they are wonderful. Okay. They take full sun. They bloom in the springtime, so they're going to bloom from now through about April, depending on where they're located in the state. And so, yes, you would need to fertilize them. I would just use a blooming fertilizer on them. They're wonderful. Get them. Yeah.
Oh, you need really to have one. They are beautiful. I didn't know we had that here.
Yes.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Great for noticing. I haven't seen one blooming yet, so I'll be keeping a sharp eye out for it. Thank you so much, Jackie.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye.
Have a great day.
So glad she called, because got to look for them. It's not wisteria. It is Queen's Wreath. Let's go to Phil in Palm Bay. Good morning, Phil. How can I help you?
Good morning, Teresa. I have a lychee fruit tree, full sun. It's about 8 to 10 years old, about 25 feet tall, and it has fruited previous years. Last year, it was just full of blossoms, and also full of insects just sucking it dry.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just completely covered, and I tried spraying a little bit. It didn't do much good. And pretty soon it seemed like all those buds and blossoms just dried up and barely any fruit at all.
Uh-huh.
And this year I see them coming back already. Is there anything I can do to help protect that?
So have you identified the insects?
Well, the closest I can come, it looks like some type of wasps.
Okay.
Maybe it's some type of bee. I'm not sure. They're smaller than a regular bee.
Uh-huh.
And also just about any type of flying insect was on that tree. It was a lot of larger black bugs.
Uh-huh.
Insects. And no matter what I did, they were just coming in swarms.
Okay, so that's not necessarily a bad thing, that because lychee trees, they have really fragrant flowers. And so they do attract a lot of pollinators, and that could be some of the wasps that you see, and then different types of bees, and then even other flying insects may be attracted to them. And so you see the insects, but what kind of damage is being done to the tree itself?
Not the tree itself. It just seems all the buds were drying up. They never really started fruiting.
Okay. All right. And so is this in your yard, and does it get regular irrigation?
It's in the front. Yes, it does.
Okay. So because last year we had a really strong drought, you know, even despite our dry season of springtime, we had an even more exasperated dryness. We didn't have a lot of rain. So because it's 25 feet tall, that it may need a little bit more water than we got last year. you know, so that may be the issue. But then also, too, every few years, you know, it'll have a great production, a great harvest. You'll get a lot of fruit. And then the next year, you may not get so much. And so this just might be the tree just kind of taking a break in between. All right. So what I want you to look for is I want you to look for leaf damage and then also make sure that it's getting enough water. And how often do you fertilize it?
Oh, probably not enough. Yeah. Maybe so, just twice a year.
Yeah, well, even twice a year, that may be enough for your soil. So I would get a soil test, Phil. You know, you can send it away to the extension office, or you can get it yourself and send it yourself. But get a soil test, find out the nutrients that are there, and then make sure it's just watered. And just keep an eye on it. It just may have been taking a break. I'm not worried about the wasps or the lots of flying insects. I want to look for the symptom. I want to look for leaf damage. And that's going to tell you if something's wrong. Just because the flowers fall off, that wouldn't be from the insects. It just may be the tree dropping it just because it can't handle it. And it may be because we just had extreme dryness in the spring.
Okay. Okay, I'll give it a try. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Phil. Always nice to talk to you. Thank you for listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. And so, great question. I just couldn't see. He didn't say he had any damage.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what you want to do is look for the damage. There's all different types of pollinators that are attracted to flowers. And some of them are wasps. So you don't really have an issue if they're not hurting the tree. And it didn't sound like it. Let's go to, let's see here. Eric, yes. Good morning. How are you? He's sitting on the water in Titusville listening to us this morning.
That's right. He's out in the salt water, boy. Yeah, we had a whole conversation during Bear Lawns and during the Good Morning Orlando about that. So I love that. He excellent listener.
There you go. So we have someone listening in Jefferson County. And thank you for listening to the show and loving it. We really do appreciate that. And then he wants to know when the pollen season is over. Oh, my goodness. You know, that's a little bit interesting because, you know, in pollen season, we have the oaks right now that are having flowers. And it's one of the more we have pollen season year round, basically, here in Florida, because when the oaks are not blooming, then we have the citrus blooming and all the different things. So I would say it gets better with the rain. So, you know, pollen season basically ends when we have rain every couple of days that tamps down the pollen and washes it away. So my car this morning had yellow all over it. So,
oh, yeah, mine's continuous.
Yeah. So we empathize with you. So thank you so much. That's great. Let's see. Sam in Tallahassee. I've had bad luck with okra getting tough and inedible. Any variety suggestions? And should I plant transplants from a nursery or direct into the garden? That is a great question, Sam. I'm going to answer that after we come back from our break. We have a hard break coming up. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens if it's Saturday morning. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
Missed any of the show? Go to our website, betterlawns.com, and you can listen to the podcast there.